Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
To eat too much, go for it, and we appreciate everybody supporting WTIC and this wonderful show that is Brian and Company. We want to thank Highland Park Market. Nobody does it better. And so with that, we're going to send it over to the truck. I can see them now, and hoping that everything works out and that the race goes off without a hitch.
Good morning and welcome to Main Street, Manchester. It's a fine morning here at the start and finish line. Thousands of athletes, thousands of spectators, good race conditions. We're on the press truck this morning. We'll be riding the truck in front of the elite athletes and giving you a play-by-play account of the race. It's one of the most wonderful races in the country on Thanksgiving, the premier road race, one of the best races in the country, one of the best races in the world, and we're very, very thankful to be here for Thanksgiving. I'm Jim Harvey, I'll be the play-by-play commentator this morning, and I'm joined with the race president, Tris Carter. Tris, what a wonderful morning.
Good morning, Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving for everybody. I'm looking down Main Street now, and elite runners are starting to stride out a little bit. It's so exciting, treat race. You feel the tension in the air with the elite runners and the general enthusiasm. Looking up at St. James Lawn, everybody's up there getting ready to cheer off on all our runners. And I look all the way up to East Center Street, and I can see runners coming down to get ready to start the race. It's going to be an incredible day. The weather's perfect, especially after last year's rain. It's going to be good. A little bit of a wind, but I think that the pack of the runners won't really feel that.
Yeah, and we've got a truly international field for the elite race this year. We've got people from England, Ireland, Scotland, New Zealand, Kenya, and we have a guy from the Isle of Man. The first time in the history of the race is a guy from the Isle of Man. It's a little island in the North Sea between England and Ireland. He can claim to be English or Irish, I guess, but he's known, and he's a contender today. Dave Mullarkey is in good form, and we'll see how that turns out. The field is assembled. It's been hard work over the last 3 months to get these guys in. We've got a wonderful defending champion who we'll talk about a little later, Wayne Colladi, who's dominated the race for the last 4 years. And the women's field also contains the woman who won the silver medal in the World Championships in September in Tokyo. That was a surprise silver medal for her, Dorcas Ewai. So great field.
I can't wait to see the race down Main Street. It's going to be so exciting to have all these runners coming down the stretch there. It's going to be great.
Yeah, we had a pasta party for the elite athletes last night with the local community. Everyone got introduced, people said a few words, signed a lot of autographs afterwards. And it's nice that the elites come in, they mingle with the local athletes, with the community, and really enjoy this event. This event is unique in lots of respects, just the way the community involvement and the atmosphere on race day. This is a superb race day atmosphere. You don't get anything like this for the shorter distances race anywhere in the country. You get it for the big city marathons, but you don't get it for the under distance races, half marathon, 10K, or as we are, 4.74.
The community supports this race everywhere from the town of Manchester to the people are coming out in the cold weather today to cheer on the runners. It's a total community event. Everybody loves this race from town. Everybody's very proud of this race. We love the elite runners, and when they come to Manchester, like last night, they're getting all the local people getting their autographs. They're heroes to us. And they're coming in here. I mean, Winnie coming in for the fourth time, trying to get the fifth in a row. The ovation that she got last night was just amazing.
Yeah, just an overview of the elite field to give you some idea of the quality we have. We have 12 guys that have run sub 4 minutes for the mile, and two of them have run 3:51. We have four guys that have run sub 13:10 for 5,000 meters, and two of them have broken 13 minutes. 13 minutes is the holy grail for 5,000 meter runners. It elevates you into world class once you've broken 13 minutes, and we have two athletes here that have done that, Amon Kemboy and Edwin Kurgat. The seven men that have run sub 28 minutes for 10,000 meters, and we have three marathon runners that have run sub 2:10, with one of them, Canadian Rory Linkletter, is the second fastest Canadian ever, and we're just going to take a little break for the national anthem right now. She was second in 2013, and she was second again in the World Championships in London in 2017. A phenomenal record that's virtually unmatched by any other woman over middle distance. So she'll be here. She's here to enjoy the race. She's been very sociable, signed a lot of autographs, and we're very, very happy to have her at the event.
Oh, what a great addition to the race, to have her come at the last minute like she did. It was just magnificent. She said, of course I was going to be in Manchester. There's no other race in Connecticut that I would ever want to go to. So it was a great tribute, and she was talking about last night about the community and how much it's supported. She said there's no other race that she's ever seen where the community supports the race as much as our community supports our race. So it was a great observation on her part.
Yeah, and she's just been wonderful for the event. Yeah. There's a neat thing for this year. We have twinned the Manchester Road Race in Connecticut with the Manchester 10K in England. It's never been done in races before, twinning two races. And the race in England is the largest 10,000 metres in Europe. They have 35,000 competitors, very high-class international field. And the winner, the first US finisher in today's Manchester Road Race here, will get flown to Manchester, England for the 10K on May 31st. And the first British finisher in the Manchester 10K on May 31st will get flown to Manchester, Connecticut for next year's race. Manchester, Connecticut was named after Manchester, England, Chris. They're both old mill towns. They've got a lot in common. Manchester, England was built on cotton. Manchester, Connecticut was built on the silk industry. Both towns full of hard-working industrious people that are passionate about sport. So a great combination of the two cities.
It's wonderful. And it will be both the top male and female going back and forth. So that's a great thing to have. It's going to be a nice addition to the race, and we're going to see how much it expands into other things, because there are lots of similarities between the two different towns, cities.
Yeah, and I'm sure other events are going to see this, and there'll be other twinnings going on through in future years. The idea came to me when I was driving in Rhode Island. I was driving through Newport, Rhode Island, and saw that it was twinned with Kinsale Island.
Okay.
And I thought, well, if towns can do that, why can't races do that?
Brilliant idea. Just brilliant. It's going to just add so much more to our race experience, and to have those people watching our race. And next May, we're going to be watching their race to see how it goes. It's just, and to have these elite athletes come to each race is going to be a real addition to them.
Yeah. Well, we are at the start. There is about a minute to the start of the race. All the field is lined up. We have 12,000 people, Tris?
12,386, to be exact.
Yeah. So you can imagine spread across the breadth of the road, going back, streaming down Main Street, back from the start. The elite athletes line up at the start of the race, so they're not impeded early on. They have a special starting gate, but the rest of the field does compete with them. A lot of races these days separate the men and women. They have a different start. We have a traditional start. We want to keep that tradition. The athletes like it, and the crowd likes it. It's nice to compete and actually toe the line with the elite athletes.
There's no other race where you can be, or a sporting event, where you can be with the elite runners or the elite football players and run right alongside them. Also, traditionally, we have a gun start. So there's always a little puff of smoke when the gun goes off, and the starter, Dave Smith, is the fastest man in Manchester, because he has to get off of that race line from the middle of the road to the side of the street before the onslaught of the elite runners. So it's a great, great traditional start to a race, and looking at the race side of street to side of street, all I see is legs and runners jumping up and down, keeping themselves warm and ready to go when the gun goes. It's so exciting. I see Winnie jumping up and down. It's just going to be a great start.
Yeah, it is. I see Wayne's wearing gloves. There's a couple of athletes wearing gloves. It's not chilly. It's cold. It's about 41 degrees, but there's a slight wind which makes it a little chilly, and so a few athletes are wearing long sleeves and gloves.
Most of them have got short sleeves and tank top type of thing, but I always find that my hands would get cold when I would run. So having gloves, and you can always get rid of them if you do get warm, but
Yeah, well, the starter's just organizing the field. There's a lot of tension, a lot of stress. The gun is up, and the gun is fired, and the race is underway.
Okay, and here we go.
Here we go. The Manchester Road Race is underway. The field is streaming down Main Street. The defending champion, Andrew Colley, is in the inside and is near the front of the field. We have Edwin Kurgat, who's actually heading the field right now. Edwin Kurgat has had a great couple of years. He was seventh in the Olympic Games in Paris last year. He was seventh in the World Championship in Tokyo earlier this year. And he's at the head of the field with David Mullarkey. So we make the turn on Charter Oak. It's a gradual downhill start. It flows down Main Street, and this is fast. This field has gone out fast. There's already some separation, so there could be a course record in mind today. Just saw the guys check the watch. So it could be that they're looking at the splits to get a really course record time today.
Well, it is a little bit of a downhill, and you get that adrenaline going, and it's hard not to take off. The former winners are kind of tucked in behind them a little bit because they know that it's a long race. And that the hill's coming, so they're just, okay, let's see what happens with these two guys, if they're going to able to keep it. Although it does look like they're being reeled in a little bit here.
Yeah, it's actually Eamon Kemboy who's leading, along with Dave Mullarkey. Yeah. These guys are teammates. They run for Team Puma. And tucked in behind is Graydon Morris. And 2023 champion Morgan Beadlescombe is in fourth place. So it's Eamon Kemboy. He's a 3:53 miler. He's run sub 30 minutes for 5,000 metres. He's run 12:58. He comes here in good form. He won the Falmouth Road Race in near record time in August. And 3 weeks ago, he won the Abbott Dash in New York City over 5K. That's held New York City Marathon Week. Always a good turnout, and he won the Abbott Dash. It was a tactical race in 13:50, but he's obviously in very good form. So he did ask about the course record earlier this morning. He was talking to me about it, and he's certainly gone out with a good intent. And Edwin Kurgat is sat back a little. He's about 10 yards behind, running with Morgan Biddlescombe, the 2023 champion. We've got a good middle distance runner in the field too, Eric Holt. He's the fastest 800 metre runner ever to run Manchester. He's run 1:45, and the group settled. I can see Rory Linkletter in there. Rory Linkletter is the fastest marathon runner. He's on 2:06, and we've just passed the Hungry Tiger, which is a noise box, Tris.
They're very, very enthusiastic with their cheers, so we love to have them there. But it does seem like there is some separation there. I think the pack is kind of just waiting to see what happens on the hill, see if they can maintain this early lead. And if he's going after the record, he's going to keep that. But
yeah, well, we will get the mile split soon, and we'll get a good idea from the mile split just how fast this is. But there's a lot of separation now in the lead pack, and obviously Eamon Kemboy has come out here intending to dominate the race. It's very rare that you get one of the leading contenders go to the front this early, but he knows he's in good form, and he's going to make fitness count today.
And we're right in front of us is a TV ATV getting their mails, and I'm looking down the road, and their women's ATV seems to be a little bit further back than it's been previous years. Usually Winnie has been a little bit closer, so I don't know what her start is like compared to other times. Did she mention that she's going to go after the record, you think?
Yeah, she's going to try for the record.
Okay,
So it's Eamon Kemboy and Peter Lynch. Peter Lynch, for everyone in the Irish community, Peter Lynch is from Kilkenny Island. He flew in from Dublin, especially for the race, and he broke John Tracy's legendary Irish marathon record. John Tracy set the course record here in Manchester many years ago. We just reached the mile mark, which is reached in
4:18.
So 4:18, the record's on. It's a fast first mile, and the field is two people at the front. It's Peter Lynch and Eamon Kemboy. And I was saying about Peter Lynch from Kilkenny, for all our Irish contingent, he's trying to re-establish the Irish connection here in Manchester, and he broke John Tracy's Irish marathon record when he ran 2:09:35 in Dusseldorf in the spring. So those two guys at the head of the field, Morgan Biddlescombe is in third, along with Edwin Kurgat. I see Rory Linkletter is in that group, Reid Buchanan and Andrew Colley. Last year's champion Andrew Colley, he's raced this course many times. He was third in 2014. It took him 10 years to win the race. So from third in 2014 to winning last year, it was an ambition of his to win the Manchester Road Race. And he's sitting back in the pack, which is actually closed on the lead too. So the pack's closed up. We've got a pack of about 15 athletes. minutes, and they're just approaching the start of the hill, and the second mile is all uphill. Really tough second mile to us.
Oh, yeah. They're just hitting the beginning of the mile, and it's just continuous. It never stops. And then when you think at the two-mile mark, when you got a flat section, there's another steeper incline, much shorter, but much steeper. So that's a real tax on the runners. But the pack has closed up. They're all together. It seems like they're getting now into their cadence, so now they're all attacking the hill together as a team, and they're kind of looking around at each other. Okay, we got this, and we'll see who's here. And then about another half mile up the road, they start looking at each other to see who's going to get the king of the hill, which is always probably the closest part of the race, because there's such a tight pack that one person will accelerate just a little bit more just to get the first King of the Hill designation. So it's fun. It's great. What a big gap between this group and the people behind them. What would you say, that 50 yards?
Yeah, about 50 yards,
yeah,
just.
Yeah.
And for the folks that aren't familiar with the King of the Hill, there is actually a $1,000 premium for the first male athlete and the first female athlete to reach the top of the hill on Highland Ave. It's a $1,000 prize, but you have to finish in the first 10 finishers to collect that. So you can't just sprint the first 2 miles, pick up $1,000 and jog the rest of the race. You have to finish in the top 10.
Well,
and it's usually very competitive. It'll be interesting to see who surges. There's about a dozen guys in the lead pack, and we'll see who surges for the $1,000.
And it seems like some of the runners are getting rid of their gloves. I see some gloves being thrown on the ground. So they're starting to, the body temperature's warming up, going up that hill. And so they're starting to warm up, so they don't need, their hands are getting warm. But yeah, it's incredible how right about now they're really struggling, because the hill is, the incline is definitely steeper right here, and you can see they're working their arms harder. Some of them look much more relaxed than the others, but a couple of them are really swinging those arms to keep pace with the other runners.
Yeah, our early pace setter, Peter Lynch, looks like he's paying the price for that fast start,
yeah.
And he was just drifting a little bit there.
Yeah.
I'm on Kemboy, still on the front. Edwin Kurgat's there, Morgan Biddlescombe, the 2023 champs there. Andrew Colley, I can't see at the moment. Barry Keane from Ireland is still in that lead pack. Eric Holt, the middle distance runner, has been dropped at this point. Robin Linkletter has been dropped a little. He's coming off the Chicago Marathon last month, so he's still got a little fatigue in his legs. But it's a great elite field, and this is going to be a very, very competitive race.
It's incredible, and I did look down the street, and I did see the other ATV where that's following the leader, women's leader, probably that's Winnie. Her pace probably is going to be record-setting, or very close to that.
Oh, we're approaching the prem for $1,000, the King of the Hill. It's Amon Kemboy, Edwin Kurgat, and Dave Malarkey.
Okay.
So the two Kenyan athletes, Edwin Kurgat's
okay,
just surging, coming to the
here
front.
Amon
Kemboy is responding.
There
could be a dead finish, and it's Amon Kemboy takes the prem.
Yeah.
Amon Kemboy wins the $1,000. Edwin Kurgat's right with him. And Amon Kemboy's eased back a little to recover, and Edwin Kurgat is pressing. This is the ideal tactic to break this race open to us. You sit off the people surging for the prize and just keep the momentum going afterwards when they're trying to recover. So there's three guys clear at the moment. It's Dave Malarkey. He ran for Northern Arizona University. He's in great form. He ran a PR 2 weeks ago in Miramar, Florida. He ran sub 28 minutes for 10K, and he's actually taken the front. He's in his university vest, Northern Arizona University, and there's three guys clear: Dave Malarkey, Edwin Kurgat, and Amon Kemboy.
And he looks smooth. No problems.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Got a lot of strength in his upper body. His arms are going well. It depends on once you hit this downhill, who takes off, because usually one or two of the runners will sprint down this hill, and I think that takes a special talent to run fast downhill, but these guys train for to be able to do that, because this is a decisive point in this race, is to pull away going down this downhill coming up.
Yeah, I had a little chat with him on Kenboy just before the race in the holding area, yeah. And he said that he wasn't a great downhill runner. And I gave him the tip that I give to all my athletes. When you run downhill, you can't think about form a lot, but tuck your chin in. The momentum of your head, your head's very heavy. Yeah. If you tuck your chin in, it gives you forward momentum. Turn onto Porter Street. Dave Malarkey is pushing the pace ahead of Edwin Kurgat, and I'm on Kenboy with Peter Lynch in fourth and Andy Butchart in fifth. Andrew Butchart has run this course before. He was sixth in the Olympic Games in Scotland. So he said he's in great shape coming in. So it's going to be seen. Morgan Bittigan is about 10 yards adrift and he's just trying to bridge the gap. And he knows he can do that. He's run like this before on this course, and he's sat off the front, and he's bridging the gap on the downhill
now.
He's
flying.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
So he's going to make contact with the lead three.
Yeah.
So it's Dave Malarkey, it's Amon Kemboy, Edwin Kurgat, and just bridge the gap is Morgan Beetlescom. And Morgan is a lethal finisher. If these guys are together on Main Street, they'll be really worried about Morgan Beetlescom's sprint finish. He's a 3:52 miler. And he knows how to close road races.
Yeah, he knows this road race.
Yeah, he knows this road race. And he's national 5K champion. He won the US 5K championship on a sprint finish. He won the Boston 5K against a really international field on a sprint finish. He's a great tactician and he loves Manchester. You know, his whole fall has been geared to coming to Manchester and winning this race, and he's just made contact with the lead three.
And he's in perfect spot, because once we get down to this flat part by Highland Park School, there's a little bit of a wind that you have to run against. So he's tucked himself in between these other two runners so that they can block the wind for him. So I think that he's in perfect spot as a tactician. He's doing it the right way here.
He is, and he's taking a little breather probably now. When you bridge the gap like that, you know, you run harder than the leaders.
Yeah.
When you catch them, you don't usually go straight past. You take a little bit of breather, you recover, recoup, and save it for the when the race starts on Main Street. This is great, very competitive, four athletes, and it's Dave Malarkey. He's from the Isle of Man, as I was saying earlier, and the first ever athlete we've had from the Isle of Man in this race. He's at the front of the field, and Amon Kemboy is to his left, Edwin Kurgat is in the middle, and Morgan Biddlescombe is just tracking them. Dave Malarkey is in fourth, last year's champion Andrew Colley is in fifth, Andrew ran the Chicago Marathon. He ran 2:09 in Chicago. So he's probably got, that was in October, so he's still probably got a little bit of fatigue in his legs and no snap. So he's about 30 yards back at the moment. So it's four guys away. It looks like a four-horse race to the finish.
And we're coming up to the three-mile mark in about another 50 yards. So we'll see what, the new three-mile time is. Yeah. Here it comes.
The three-mile time just rolling around. And we're about to get the split.
4:33.80
coming down the hill. That's incredible.
Yeah. And I think they've regrouped a little bit. You know, they sometimes back off because they know when it's a group like this, it's going to be a tactical finish. And, you know, no one wants to go too soon. It's a very difficult course technically because when you make that final turn onto Main Street, the finish looks much closer than it is. It's about 600 yards away, about 90 seconds running, but it looks closer and then it kicks back up at the end. It's downhill and then it kicks up at the end. Oh, and Peter Lynch has just made contact. He's regained contact. So we've got a group of five now, Tris.
Right. And last year we saw somebody start out too fast, began their sprint too early, and they pulled away, and we thought that they were going to win, but they reeled them in coming down Main Street. So it's a tactical race at this point with all five of these runners. Like you said, Bielsohn is probably the fastest person there, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
The guy who made the tactical error last year was Edwin Kerget, and he went, broke before the four-mile point, and broke the field open, but he went a bit too soon, and Andrew Colley sat off him and picked him up at the beginning in Main Street, then out kicked him down the stretch. Edwin Kerget is the fastest man in the field over the three classical distances. 3,000, 5,000 and 10,000. He's run 7:28 for 3,000, which is sub-4 minute pace for virtually 2 miles. He's run 12:57 for 5,000 and 26:46 for 10,000 meters. So he has the fastest credentials in the race, 7th in the World Championships and 7th in the Olympic Games. So we have a group of five. Dave Malarkey's back with them, and Amon Kemboi. I think they've checked at the moment and just taken a little breather. Dave Malarkey is at the front,
and Fieldstone seems to have kind of moved up to third place now.
Yeah, Morgan Beadle-Scum's moved up to third. There's maybe been a little surge here too, by the looks of it, Tris. Malarkey's surge, and he's taken Edwin Kerget with him, and Morgan Beadle-Scum is covered. It's who blinks first in a race like this. You know, you don't want to put all your cards on the table too early. You know you've got to keep something in reserve for the finish. So it's a very tactical race from now on in.
And yet you want to try to get rid of some of these people. So you put a couple surges in, see if you can drop some of these runners. Because you know, if they're faster than you, you don't want to how to out-sprint them at the end. So if you could put a couple surges in and drop them, that would be great.
Yeah, and it's Edward Kerget who's regained the lead. He led at about this point last year and pressed hard. He looks like he's doing the same right now. And they've dropped Amon Kemboi. The early leader, Amon Kemboi, is back. He's about 10 yards back. So it's a group of four. It's Edwin Kerget from Morgan Biddlescombe, Dave Malarkey, and Peter Lynch.
And he was looking back to see how close his the people behind him are. And there's nobody close to him. He's in fifth spot, but it's obviously, when you see that, you start to think that they're struggling a little bit.
Yes, indeed. And Edwin Kerget is putting the hammer down now. There has been an increase in pace. He's pressing off the front. He's probably worried about Morgan Beadlescombe. You know, he won't want it to come down to a sprint finish. Dave Malarkey's finish, I'm not sure of, but we know he's in good racing form, and he's sitting in behind Kerget at the moment. Biddlescombe is third, and Peter Lynch is fourth. Peter Lynch, being a marathon runner, he's run sub 4 minutes for the mile, but he probably hasn't got the pace in his legs that the other guys have. And Morgan Biddlescombe is the fastest closer, but Edwin Kerget's trying to press hard off the front and make sure that it's an endurance finish, not a speed finish.
And it seems like Beadlestone's moved away from him, so that way the other runner can't feel where his speed is. Here's him a 4 mile.
We're just at the 4 mile mark, which we're waiting for a split. Yeah, we've missed the 4 mile split, but the race is on now.
4:24.42.
4:24 for the last mile. The race is on now. The guys have got some smell to finish. There's less than 3/4 of a mile to go, and it's Edwin Kurgat pressing off the front from Dave Malarkey. They're running out on the outside of the road. Morgan Biddleston is about 5 or 6 meters behind, running on the inside of the road, and it's Peter Lynch in fourth.
Any one of those three people could win this. It's so exciting because they're all like this pressing.
Yeah, Edwin Kurgat is certainly going for it right now. The last half mile has seen a huge surge and increase in pace. We're going to make the turn into Main Street in a couple of hundred yards, and he's just starting to drop Dave Malarkey.
Yeah.
And Morgan Biddleston is on the inside. When Morgan Biddleston finished second in this race in 2022, he ran the second fastest time ever in the Manchester Road Race. He ran 21.05, and he came from a long way back on Main Street. I can't see it quite happening today because Edwin Kurgat is striding away now. He's really put a huge surge in. He's broken Dave Malarkey. He's about
10
yards clear. Yeah, and he's not going to make the mistake he made last year. He's going to know he's got to hold this through the finish line. He's making the turn on Main Street. There's 600 yards left of the Manchester Road Race, about 90 seconds. And it's Edwin Kurgat running, looking great. Yeah. He's relaxed, he's comfortable, he's in full stride, and he's in full control. He's about 20 metres clear of Dave Malarkey. Morgan Biddleston is closing on Dave Malarkey. I think he'll probably get to Dave Malarkey. And can he get Edwin Kurgat? That's the question. He's got good momentum coming down. Yeah. He's 20 metres back. It's going to be a big ask for him to get this race. And Edwin Kurgat should maybe take a peek and realise that he's there. Because if Morgan Biddleston's there when it kicks back up, he's going to be a factor. The course is very deceiving. It's downhill for most of the finish, but then it kicks back up in the last few metres, and that's where the race is usually won. But it looks like Edwin Kurgat has got it. He's holding the lead. He's got a 20-yard lead. It should be enough to ensure the win, and it should be a fairly fast time. Edwin Kurgat is coming in. He's going to win the Manchester Road Race. No question now. Morgan Biddleston has faded back after that surge. Dave Malarkey is in second. Edwin Kurgat's coming in with a 20-30 yard gap. It's a wonderful feeling as an athlete, Tris, when you're not being pressed at the finish line. He can enjoy these last few metres. The crowd's responding. He's getting a great reception. They love the winner of the Manchester Road Race. He's coming in. He's just about to break the tape. It's a little slower. He's going to break 21 minutes. He's going to be the first one under 21 minutes. 20:52. Fabulous time from Edwin Kurgat. Blown the course record apart. The first man under 21 minutes in the Manchester Road Race. Superb running.
Wow, he started from the start out front and he just never gave up. Watch your fingers.
Yeah. It was superb tactics. He broke the race open. He played to his strengths. He got the lead and gradually increased, and he's bouncing around on the finish line. He knows what he's done. He knows he ran a great race today.
Look how happy he is. He's just jumping up and down, smiling at everybody.
Yes, acknowledging the crowd. That was a phenomenal performance. The first guy under 21 minutes in the Manchester Road Race. In fact, we had three guys under 21 minutes. I think Morgan Biddleston did too, and so did Dave Malarkey. So we're just about to disembark the press truck. It's kind of difficult. We're on a platform that's going to go down off the truck, so you'll have to bear with us for a moment. And it's quite crowded. And we also have to get the equipment off the truck. And we're going down now onto the road. We're going to interview the winners of the Manchester Road Race in a few minutes. And the TV gets the first dibs on the interviews. We'll pick them up later. We're going to walk down the course to see who's going to win the women's race. We're expecting Wayne Caladi to come in a moment. And she'll be about 2 minutes behind.
We got it.
So we're actually wired up with all the equipment, walking down Main Street right now, waiting for Wayne Caladi or the first woman in the race to come in. Fabulous race from these guys. Very, very competitive and great times. Fast times throughout the field. really brilliant race, and Edwin Kurgat was superb. First man under 21 minutes in the Manchester Road Race. He looked so happy, Tris.
Oh, he was. He's ecstatic, as he should be. I mean, what a great performance.
So we're at 22.50 in the race now, and the record for the women is 22.55. Wayne's not going to get the record today. We're just walking down to see if we can spot her coming in. Wayne, of course, hasn't got such a... Here she comes. Wayne Kalani's coming in. She's got about 50 yards coming in. She's by herself. Wayne looks great. She's coming in. She's ridden the fifth winner in the Manchester Road Race. The first woman to win the Manchester Road Race five times in succession. A fantastic performance. She ran about 23.30, faster than any woman's ever run on this course except herself. So a wonderful performance from Wayne Kalani, Tris.
Keep it moving. The two winners are over here congratulating each other.
Yeah, so we are at the finish waiting for the winners to come over to be interviewed. They're going to interview the guys to begin with, and we get the second interview.
We got a break in 10 seconds.
Okay, we have a short break. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with the interviews of the winners of the Manchester Road Race. So we'll sign over for now. We are back at the finish line on Main Street. We have just seen history set, Tris. Yes. We have seen the first man run the Manchester Road Race in under 21 minutes. Edwin Kurgat, based in Flagstaff, Arizona. He's become the first man ever to run under 21 minutes in the history of the Manchester Road Race. A superb win. He was very, very good tactically. He dominated the field in the final mile, and he played to his strengths. He's had a great, great couple of years. He was seventh in the Olympic Games, seventh in the World Championships, and today quality showed. This is his first race since the summer, and he'd saved it. He wanted to come into Manchester. He wanted to win Manchester, and he wanted to make up for the tactical ever last year where we finished in third place. So a wonderful performance, Tris.
Typical that it takes a couple of some experience to be able to run and win at Manchester. There's so many different features of the course. You got the uphill, you got the downhill, you got a long flat, and then at the very end you have a little bit of an incline. So it takes a lot of tactical explanation to be able to run it successfully. Last year he took off too early, as we saw, and he just didn't have the gas in the tank at the end. Today he did not make that mistake, and he had lots of gas. Set the course record.
Well, he's been interviewed by the TV people now, the TV cameras, and he's just coming over to us. Edwin, welcome.
Congratulations.
Okay, we're just going to get Edwin mic'd up, and we're going to have a chat and find out how he did this. Okay, Edwin, are you good?
Yes.
Yes. Edwin, you set history today. That was superb. You were the first man under 21 minutes in the Manchester Road Race. And you were great tactically. Tell us how the race went. When you pressed again just before the four-mile mark, you put in a big surge. Tell us how it went and how you felt.
The race went really great. I was really excited for this one. Last year I came, I got tired, and this time around I wanted to win it. And so I came strategically, and I had a strategy. I knew what I wanted to do, and I just executed my race.
Yeah, this is your first race since the track season. Is it your first race since the World Championships?
This is my first race since the World Championships.
Yeah, so you had a good focus for coming into Manchester. I know Stephen Hash, your coach, prepared you well and gave good tactical advice. You executed today beautifully. That was a really great performance.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I came here. I was just thinking about winning the whole time. And when it came to like a mile to go, I knew this was my chance. I had some very, very good kickers. And I knew if I wait until the end of the race, it would have been a kick race. So I wanted to just make sure that last mile was hard enough that nobody would come and kick at the end.
Were you concerned about Morgan Biedelskam, who's a great finisher? And he actually closed a little bit when you made the turn and surged down the hill, but he couldn't sustain it because you made it such a great endurance, speed endurance finish.
Yeah, I was really concerned about everybody. Last year, Andrew Collin came up to me at the last like bit of it, and he just sprinted so hard I had nothing to finish. And this time around, I just had to make sure that I saved a lot of energy for that finish.
So what is next for you, Edwin? Are you going to Honolulu for the mile or for the 10K?
Yeah, so from me, I'm just going to Hawaii, have some fun there, just run a 10K for fun, and that will be like a kind of a small break for me before I get back to January, get ready for a good indoor season.
Well, there's no World Championship or Olympic Games next year, so what will your focal point be for next summer?
We got some Commonwealth Games that I might be doing, but the main thing for me next season is just getting ready for some good races. I want to make sure I improve my personal best in each and every event that I've done, and I want to make sure I run some great times and just make sure I get ready also to start transitioning into road racing and put more road races into my schedule.
Well, you certainly ran a great time today. You made history here in Manchester, and we're so happy for you. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and you guys all enjoy.
Okay, thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thank you, everyone.
It's so humble.
Yes, great run from Edwin Kerget. He's a great guy, and we wish him well next year. The Commonwealth Games, for the people who don't know, is for the British. The former British Empire is now the British Commonwealth, and every 4 years they have a gathering of sports like the Olympic Games and the Commonwealth Games. Kenya, of course, is part of the Commonwealth, and that will be his championship race for next year. We're just about to get Wayne Kaladi, if we can get her over.
I think she's on TV right now,
and we'll speak with Wayne. Yeah. Wayne, the 5-time winner of the Manchester Road Race, is phenomenal.
Yeah, unbelievable. There's no other person, woman, who's won 5 times in a row. Amy Rudolph has won 5 times, but not in a row. So this is just so remarkable. Yep.
Wayne weighs about 90 pounds and stands about 4 feet 10. And she's phenomenal to think that she can run that fast and dominate races the way she does.
I don't know how she has the muscle mass to move that fast. I can only tell people, I think the first time I saw it, I looked and saw, see how big she is. I said, does she have wings? Because she flies around this course. It's just amazing.
Well, she's so attuned mentally and trained so hard. You know, Wayne's had a great career at the University of New Mexico. She was NCAA cross-country champion. She was NCAA 10,000-meter champion. And she's had a phenomenal career. She's coached by Stephen Haas, who's Edwin Kurgett's coach. They're based up there in Flagstaff. So Stephen Haas has two winners today. You know, and Stephen has been a great supporter of this race. It's thanks to people like Stephen that we bring all these elite international athletes to Manchester, and we should acknowledge him and be very thankful for him.
Without them helping us get the best athletes in the world, without you making contacts and getting all these people here, and now with the twinning of the two cities, this is going to be another event to get some more elite athletes here.
Yeah, it's all about establishing relationships. Yeah. It's a very close-knit community at the elite level of our sport. Everyone knows each other. It's about having relationships and treating people well, treating them with respect, and appreciating what they bring to the field.
Right, and they have such a short window, these elite runners, that they may be elite for 5-7 years and then they're not. So their window as a runner is very, very short, so you want to treat them as best you can because it's short.
Yeah, and the life of a marathon runner especially is short.
Yeah.
You know, a marathon runner usually gets 2 good years, and, you know, they race either side of it, but when they look back on their career, they'll see that there was a probably highlight and a very small bracket of achievement, of the very top-level achievement, and it's usually condensed into a couple of years.
Right, you can't sustain it at that level. And also, everybody's techniques are they see what you're doing, and that you got something on your back, where a target on your back, where they're going to try to see who you are, see where you are, and they're going to go after you.
And the life of an elite athlete is very focused and very disciplined. They train twice a day, virtually every day. They'll break it down into sections where they'll do a long run, they'll do a medium long run and 2 workouts, but they're out there twice a day, and they're running 100 miles, 120 miles a week. And, you know, there's a huge fatigue level that they carry around with them in daily life. And they need, you know, sustenance and a lot of calories to be able to do.
And a lot of sleep.
Yeah. We've got Wayne Colletti walking over to join us. We're just about to get Wayne mic'd up.
Congratulations, Wayne.
Thank you.
Yeah, what a great race. 5 times in a row.
Yeah, Wayne, congratulations. That was a brilliant show. It was a little bit windy out there today. Did you find you were by yourself for a long way? But 5 wins in a row. You've dominated the race for so long now, and you have the 5 fastest times any woman has ever achieved in Manchester. So tell us step by step from the first mile how you felt and how it went.
Well, I did not scared to go fast from the beginning because this is like my 5th time here. I wanted to go after the record. I took off and it felt a little bit harder, just like from the first mile. And I was like, oh my God, I have a lot to go. Why did I feel tired? But when I make it on the top of the hill, I feel more confident and I feel recovered. I tried to push myself throughout the race, but the wind made it a little bit harder today. I couldn't get a faster time, but I'm really happy with the win.
Yeah, yeah, it was a super performance, yeah. And so, Wayne, are you conscious of your splits? Do you look at your watch when you go through the mile marks as a check mark to see where you are?
I saw it. I was like, I ran, I think, about 4:40, 4:42. And it doesn't scare me from my experience in the past years because I've been running about the same time, especially the first year I went out 4:30, I think.
Yep.
I don't panic when I see my watch, and I was like, okay. I think I need to keep pushing myself to get this fast time, but yeah.
Yeah. And how did you find the hill? When you go out there first, you're faced with a hill for the next mile. Do you regroup a little, or you keep trying to press on the hill?
Yeah, I was like, as I said, I felt a little bit tired. Maybe the wind makes it harder this year, but I was like, okay, once I make it, I just have to think every 1 mile at the moment. I don't want to think about the entire race. Once I make it on the top of the hill, I was like, okay, now it's downhill and flat. I can't go from this.
Well, your coach, Stephen Haas, has 2 winners today, you and Edwin. He does a superb job with you guys. He also coaches marathon runners. He's got Sharon Lachetti, of course, who's won Boston and New York. And you must have feelings about the marathon, you know, see what Sharon's done. And I know that you're considering the marathon next year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm blessed to be a part of this team. You know, like, I think our team is really good, whether it's in the track and the road racing. We have a lot of really good runners, whether it's a 15, 5K, 10K, marathon, all those events. So I'm excited to run a little bit longer distances, like a marathon. It feels like a new start for me, but I'm really excited to try it.
Yeah, you've got really cool sunglasses today. Do we call them re-entry shades, you know, from the speed you're going? But they look really cute.
Oh, thank you. You know, I have to be ready with everything.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Bunny. I mean, you've accomplished a feat that is going to be very, very difficult for any other woman to do. Five consecutive wins in Manchester. We have not a man win in Manchester consecutively for 30 years. And you've done it five times for the women. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. And good luck next year. You're going to Hawaii, I believe. You're going to get some sunshine in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for that, too. This is going to be like the shortest distance that I do. But it makes me excited.
Yeah, well, slightly different temperature to Manchester, I'm sure. But you'll enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Winnie, thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. If we could get Stephen Haas over. Wayne, if you could ask Stephen to come over, if you would, please. The coach, we'd like to have a word. Stephen, let's get you mic'd up, man.
We have two winners.
Yeah, congratulations, yes. Stephen.
Thank you.
Two winners, two great champions. And you primed Edwin for the win today. Tactically, you know, he was spot on, no mistakes, and he executed beautifully. Tell us a little bit about what you told him before the race.
Yeah, I think the strategy was just to kind of tuck in, try to stay out of the wind, especially after mile three. But then, told him if he felt good, you know, push early, you know. And, I think he said he did, and, it paid off. It was good.
Yeah, he knew that he went a little bit too early last year. This year he wasn't going to make that mistake again.
Yeah, last year they pushed right after mile three, and I think they paid for it a little bit towards the end. But, this year he back a little bit, tucked in behind the wind, and I'm very surprised. The course record on a windy day like this, that's pretty impressive. He's going to be really good in the road.
Were you a little bit concerned when Morgan Middleton made a late rush just at the top of the hill? He looked like he could close, but
he ran really hard on the downhill to catch back up, and I thought he could definitely be a contender. He's won here before. He knows how to run on the course. I think he saved a little bit for the end, but luckily Edwin had saved some too.
It was a big ask for him to close the gap and to be able to kick afterwards.
I counted, I think, at the turn he had 5 seconds, so I felt pretty good.
And we didn't get the second and third times, but both second and third were sub 21 minutes too.
So good run for David as well. Like he said, I told you before, he's been training with us and he's been looking really good in training, and I think he could be a really good road runner as well.
He's got a great future.
Yeah, him and Edwin have been doing quite a bit of workouts together, so it was really good.
Well, that's what you get when you're well coached, Stephen.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Stephen Haas, he makes our race what it is. You know, people in the sport, we've got the support of coaches and agents, and it really means a lot to us here in Manchester. So thank you so much, Stephen.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad we went 1-2 on the men and women.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations. Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic.
Appreciate that. Okay, thank you. Thanks for having us, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Okay, you're welcome, Stephen. Okay, that's Stephen Haas. Had a great day today. He coaches these guys in Flagstaff, Arizona. He's a great coach. He's a great person, too. You know, if you're going to hold a group of athletes together, you've got different personalities, different likes and dislikes. And Stephen's got to juggle a lot of balls in the air, and he's brilliant at doing it, Tris.
Fantastic to be able to do that with all those different personalities. And all those people are very competitive individuals, and they all want to be the best they can be. And yet you have the different styles of running, different styles of training. So, yeah, it's amazing that he can do all that.
Yeah, and different nationalities. Stephen spends most of his life on the road.
Yeah.
In the summers, he's based in Belgium at their holding camp. All his athletes will go there, stay in one town. Then they race the Diamond League circuit. They drench off. They fly to various cities, fly back to the holding center. And it's a lot for him to be away from his family, you know, for that length of time. But he takes a very special person to be on the road, to be very giving for other people's performances, and Stephen does a great job.
And also, yeah, the runners, they have their ups and downs too, so when they're doing great like this, that's one thing, but then when they have the flat part, when they're not getting better, how do you keep them motivated, keep them going, so that way they can get break through that and get into another level of expert running?
I see a past winner who's close by from our race, Paddy Catalano. If we could get Paddy Catalano over here, we'll say a few words. Paddy Catalano's with her husband, Dan Dillon, and she's just there, Bob, the lady with the long black hair, right next to this. Paddy, coming over. Yeah. We're going to have a few words with Paddy Catalano.
We're going to put you on radio.
We're going to break you up and get you on radio, Paddy. Yeah, Paddy is a legend in our sport. Paddy was the first US woman to break 2:30 for the marathon. She was second in the New York Marathon to the great Bella Bates. She was second in the Boston Marathon. She dominated the Honolulu Marathon, 4 or 5 wins. And Paddy was a prolific racer. She ran 44 races 1 year, which is a phenomenal amount for any athlete. That's got you a race every weekend. And the very fortunate she's our understanding.
Oh my goodness, to be here today is exciting, and to be the honorary chairperson, Jim. It's like a dream come true with the excitement and the energy in the air. I've been trying to do it for years in the 2000. Oh, wow. We've got our kids here to watch the race on Thanksgiving. I mean, what else do you do? Other than if you're a runner, you come to Manchester and you run. Or you bring your family and you watch it on the race.
Well, your running family, I mean, your husband Dan was on many U.S. teams, the World Cup Championships. He was a standout at Providence College. So your kids have got great genes.
Oh, they do have great genes, but not, they don't really run. My son was on Division One crew. He was a crew member. And my daughter, she did a 22.5K as a 9-year-old.
Wow.
And she doesn't run right now. But, you know, they are aware. And they do. They're not here today. So.
Yeah, Paddy, what year did you win the Manchester Road Race?
1979. Can you believe it?
Oh,
my goodness. It's
now.
So long ago. But not really, because you relive the feelings and it's just wonderful. And I want to congratulate all the runners here, because when they start the run and they finish it, they're not the same person. Because, you know, they're going to feel so good, and that feeling, you can't buy it. And nobody can give it to you. So I figured, if nobody can give it to you, nobody can take it away. You own it.
Right.
Well, Paddy, you witnessed history being made today.
I know. Can you believe it? Winning.
Yes. Wayne, 5 consecutive wins. And Edwin Kurgat running under 21 minutes, the first
time
ever.
He wanted it.
Yeah.
I looked at him afterwards, and I said, congratulations. And he was like, yeah. And I said, you really wanted this? And he went, yep. I did. And when you want something like that, when you really want it, it's like desire, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. It may not be that time, but you will eventually do it.
That's true,
amazing.
Yeah. It's a mental game as much as it is.
Oh, it is. You've got to have the physical stamina to keep up with your head.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Paddy.
Jim, thank you so much. And thank you, Tris.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
What a great day.
It's a wonderful day. The sun, the people, the costumes, the energy, the fans.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful, and I'm so happy to be here.
Do you think
thank
we should
you.
Get hubby over? We don't get Danny on the air very often. Come on, Dan, say a few words over here. Let's get the mic on here. So you're married to a fantastic woman who's a high achiever in our sport, Dan. You were a high achiever yourself in our sport. You know, all the cross-country teams you made, all the performances you gave in Providence College. You were on the Athletics West team, which was the first professional team in the U.S. Tell us a little bit how the sport's developed and how you've seen the road develop.
Yeah, it's been amazing. The sport now, just to see the times people are running, absolutely incredible. People just keep getting faster and faster, and you know, you can't really appreciate the way the sport is. In a way, Manchester Road Race is special to me because It's still one of the old school type of races where all the men and the women get to start on the same starting line, and that you really feel, even if you're these people that are finishing now, they're kind of, you know, 7-minute mile, 8-minute mile, 10-minute mile people. Right. They really get that feeling that I started on the same starting line and ran on the same streets as some of the top runners, fastest runners in the world. And it's just an amazing feeling. It's a great sport. It just embrace, the whole community comes together for these things. The local community here, but the whole running community nationally and internationally. It's such a great group. I'm still in touch with so many of the people that I ran with. Like you mentioned, when I was in college, I ran with John Tracy and Ray Tracy, who have been ambassadors to the Manchester Road Race as well. And they're just very special people. Big influence on me, and my running career would have never achieved what it did without people like them. I surrounded myself with people that were faster than myself to try and draw better performances out of me, and I'm just really thankful to have had them.
And you were in the national seven times. You were on
I was on the U.S. national cross country team. Yeah, I loved cross country. I was okay on the track, okay in the roads, but cross country was really my favorite. And I put a lot of special effort into trying to make those teams every year.
That seven times.
Seven. Yeah, yeah. So it's great. It's wonderful. I got to go. You know, when you're a young kid and you say, oh, you know, I'll never get to see places like Rome and Paris and Madrid. And I actually was able to do those things, you know, and travel to Ireland and to be a part of something big like that, something big in the sport. And, you know, races like this, you know, you had 4-minute milers in there, 13-minute, sub-13-minute 5K guys in there. When you get races like this, it brings people together. It's like the World Cross Country, where you're bringing people that are, you know, World Cross Country, people say it's the hardest race. Bill Rogers was third in it 1 year, and people said, oh, which was the hardest race for you to run? And he said, you know, when I finished third and I got a bronze in the World Cross Country, that was my actual biggest race. He said, that's so hard to do. You've got marathon runners in there, CCJ's running 10,000, and people that actually specialize in cross country. You know, it's a hard race to run, and to win a major road race like this is very, very
good. Well, it's very challenging, because you have a little bit downhill in the beginning, then you have a flat, and then you have an uphill, and a steep downhill, you start running, and then you have the waves coming back, and then you have the wind you're fighting. There's so many elements that you're fighting against, so it takes somebody a very flexible. Historically, steeplechase people do very well here in Manchester because they know how to overcome hurdles, so to speak, and keep going.
Yeah, it's a special type of athlete that takes to win a race like this.
Yes.
It's just a really special thing. And I got to say, the people that put this place on, we, like you said, this morning, filling holes in the middle of the night to try and make sure that this race goes on without a hitch, you know. And it's just an amazing group of volunteers and people that have been doing this forever, you know, for that years and years and years. How do you make a race last for, you know, there's so many races that, you know, that, you, how do you make a race last for 80 years? That's a hard thing to do.
89 years. Next year is 9 years. You're referring to the fact that yesterday I got a phone call around 2 o'clock saying that there's a water leak on the race course from the town, and they were going to take care of it, and they're keeping me abreast of the condition. I drove past the area. And the hole they kept digging was deeper and deeper. And the last time I went past, there was a man in the hole. I could barely see the top of his head because they were going to find that water leak wherever it was. When at 5:30, when it's going to 5:15, going to the spaghetti dinner, the hole was totally full. They were tapping it down. This morning I went past. You don't even know where it is.
Yeah, that's
part of the public works. That's public works. They have done such a great, and the whole town works. Race. The people in the town being out in a race, cheering on the runners. You've been to many races. You're out there by yourself. No one's cheering you. Here, you come, they're going to cheer you the whole way around, no matter what the weather is.
And I tell you, people come out, they're not just here to see the top runners. And Jim did a great job putting together a huge elite field. The depth of the runners are both on the women's side and the men's side was amazing. Yeah. You know, but people come out, they come out to see their family. They come out to see the top runners for sure, but they also they come here to see
family members. Look how many people are just standing around watching, waiting for their family members to come in here. It's just a great community event, and hats off to you guys for all the work you put into it. So I know how these things go. I was a race director myself at the time, and to put together a race that's this successful is a lot of hard work. It happens months and months and months before for it to actually come off like this. So
okay, well, thank you, Dan. That's super.
You guys did a great job.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for you and Paddy supporting this race for all these years. We really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Amazing. What a day.
Yes, what a day. Fabulous day. The course has been amazing, and the field. The athletes really appreciate this. There's no other race like this in the country. You know, you capture magic in a bottle, and people come, they experience it. They want to come back, they want to experience it again. And it's a wonderful event for the city, but it's a wonderful experience for people from all over the world. You know, it's magnificent.
And you never know who is going to start picking up in a healthy run for the rest of their lives, because they first came out to Manchester, they ran it, that they're having a great time, and then they said, you know, I'm going to start doing this, and it's a good health. I was saying she was a smoker and overweight when before she started running, and then she became a sub-230 runner, because there's that feeling that you get that you run that is just so positive. It makes you just feel good about yourself, and it's just a great thing. And so hopefully getting all these runners here, some of them will pick that up. And
we've got a minute left on the air, folks. We'll do a slight recap. A great, great race here in Manchester. Wayne Nicoletti setting an historical performance, winning five consecutive Manchester Road races in the five fastest times we've ever seen. No woman has come close to Wayne Nicoletti. She's going to go to marathon next year. She may not be back to try and make it six. Hopefully she will, but there's a slight doubt about that. And a wonderful, wonderful performance from Edwin Kerger. I never thought we'd see anyone running sub-21 minutes in this race. The new shoe, the new technology, has obviously made a little difference. We had three guys. 21 minutes today, and a magnificent depth in the field, magnificent quality, and the great, great win for Edwin Kerger, who was setting his own record for the race. Won dominantly today, and I'm sure we'll be back next year trying to repeat that performance.
Well, as a representative of the road race, I have to thank you for this race on the map and everything, all these runners, and you're steadfastness to our race and to make it the best race in the United States. So thank you from all of us.
Well, thank you, Tris. Yeah. I mean, teamwork makes the dream work, and we're all together, and we all have the same power and passion for this event.
Yeah.
So that's it for the Manchester Road Race, folks. We're going to say a wonderful day, and thanks for being with us.
And happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.